Blog Talk Radio.
Right now is the one moment that matters. Right now is the time to act on what's next.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, Angela Butler. Today's show is with Reverend Dr. Stevens. His wife, Miss Dorothy Stevens, will not be on the show today. Good afternoon, Mr. Stevens.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing real good. So today is going to be another show about marriage and relationships. You had sent me an email, and it was really very good. It had a lot of scriptures, and I did read it. So I'm going to let you start.
Okay. Do you have some specific questions for me?
Yes, sir. Actually, I do. You were talking about in your lesson for today, in your message, remember who is your source. Text Psalm 121, 1 through 8 verses, and chapter 125, verses 1 to 2. It begins with, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Then it goes on to say, the Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Talk about what it says about in Psalms 125, those who trust in the Lord are like my Zion. Then I'm going to skip some of it. When we are in trouble, downcast, frustrated or in fear, it is automatically expected for the true believer to our greatest source answer. Then it says, at first, we might be tempted to think about our personal work, our bank account, even our acquaintances or relatives who might come up with a solution to help us. So my question is, how does this pertain to marriage? I know it's for the soul. I understand it's for the soul and that person. It's not just completely for a married couple. So my question is, how does this relate to marriage? And how does a person apply these scriptures to their own life individually?
Okay. Well, actually, you were quoting from a sermon that I did today, which was not particularly on marriage, but since you brought the question to me, I think we can find application. When things happen, I think people, the human thing is, we look outside for what we can do to remedy the situation. And we think about, well, let's put it this way. If it's a financial problem, we start thinking, well, where did I get this money? Where am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to do? And many times we first off look to ourselves. What do we have? And that's kind of normal. But ultimately, we have to look to God as our source. And some people say, well, that's hard to do, but it's interesting. I mentioned today that you let something happen, you let some big catastrophe happen, the first thing you'll find people really want to pray and they really want to seek God and all of that. But the same God that we are looking for in catastrophes can be our God even on a daily basis, even through the trials and the struggles of life, the everyday struggles. We don't have to wait for a catastrophe to call on him. We should call on him every day. In fact, starting your day off should be a contact with God and a reliance upon his will and his word and his involvement in our lives. I also mentioned that there are mountains, and in one scripture reference, he compares our relationship to a mountain and the fact that it won't be moved. It's stabilized. And so we as the people of God should be like that. And in our marriages, we should have a stabilization. Some people base how they feel on what's going on. And if it's going well, they feel, you know, everything's fine. If it's not going well, they feel everything is terrible. I think we should have a positive outlook on our relationship. When you get married, you ought to be married for life, not as long as things are going well. I think I've approached answering your question.
Yes, yes, you are. You are. Okay, so those are powerful scriptures. I've read them before also, especially applied it to my own life. Look to the hills will come into my help.
Can I interrupt you just for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Taught from the old King James Version. That's how we were taught to memorize this scripture. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. But further study has shown us that that's not the way that scripture was written or intended. It's, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And then that's supposed to be a period there, not a comma. The old King James Version had a comma. But the newer translations, you'll find there are two different sentences. And then he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Okay, that's a complete sentence. Then the next part says, from whence comes my help? Cometh my help? That's a question, and it's asking the question, where is my help coming from? And so the rest of it then answers that question. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, we've taken two sentences and put it into one sentence and not understood that this is very strong words from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. In other words, get your eyesight up. Look to those things that are above. But then it asks the question, from where comes my help? And we know that our help comes from the Lord. That's the remainder of that 121st Psalm.
Okay. All right. So another question would be, well, not really my question, it's something somebody texted me and also emailed. This lady, she's like 30, well, she says she's near 40. Her question is, she has, you know, been with some different men, and she never can seem to find a man who can truly love her, and she doesn't understand that. So her question is, and it's not my question, but this is the question she has texted me and told me to ask, why is that? I mean, why can she not find the love she longs for and a husband?
Okay, that's it?
She doesn't know why. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. There might be hundreds of reasons why, and I don't know her personally, and I can just kind of fish around and say, but there are many reasons why somebody, it depends on what they're looking for, it depends on their ability to be to meet people. There are a lot of reasons. I would say, first of all, that she needs to evaluate where she's fishing, the stream. You know, is she looking in positive places for positive people? Is she taking advantage of the particular environment? There are a whole lot of things. You know, I heard a story one time about this lady who was a church secretary, and I suppose it must have been a very large church. The woman had never been married. She was dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to the church. They said that she was a marvel at the church work, and but she was not out in public. She was not up where, you know, people could see her and all of that, but she was just dedicated to the Lord. And this other minister, they said, his wife passed, and they don't even, people who were reporting sources, they don't even know when he met this woman. But somewhere in the course of his travels, them both being involved in church work, that he met this woman, must have met this woman. And so when his wife died, he was eligible to, you know, an eligible bachelor now to take on another bride. And everybody was shocked because he went straight to where this woman was. She was almost buried in the catacombs of the church. He went straight to her and began to court her, and began to bring her out of her shell. And he finally got married to her, and everybody was shocked because they said, well, she's never in the spotlight. Where is, I mean, she's buried. What? How in the world did he ever come across her? But whatever she did, whatever, you know, she made an impression on him so great that after his wife, whom he loved, died, he went and sought this woman in another state, in another place. He remembered whatever it was that she was doing. And from all reports, I mean, she wasn't flirting or anything like that. She was just going about doing the work of the church. But he went, and he was a pastor. He went, and he made her his first lady. So, I mean, I'm sure there are other stories like that. It all depends. But my first, Angela, my first recommendation is this woman should first of all know who she is. She should dedicate her life to the Lord. She should then be able to ask the Lord, listen, I would like to be somebody's bride. Send me the right person. I'm not accepting anything short of the right person. And I think, you know, I believe the Lord will answer that prayer if she behaves herself in a proper way. You don't have to go out there and as they say, get fresh and get new and do a whole lot of stuff to attract the man. Because, I mean, that, if you're attracting that kind of man, is it really worth it? You know, I don't think so. But it's hard to say why she has not attracted somebody who, you know, is honest, sincere, and what she's looking for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess she answered her question. I believe you did. At least I hope so. I hope she's listening, too, because that was the question she had. So you're saying that the woman could be fishing in the wrong place.
Yes.
You know, meeting the wrong kind of man. Okay.
Yes. And a lot of times they're looking for Mr. Right, and they have a preconceived idea of what Mr. Right is going to look like and what he's going to do. And sometimes that man is putting on a false front like anything else, you see. And maybe she's overlooking the right man because he doesn't have the flash and the stash and all those kind of things that we kind of say, well, that's a good man, that's a successful man. but sometimes it might be somebody who's just plain and doesn't have the polish and all of that, but would be good for her, would be sincere, would be dedicated to making her life happy. She might overlook him because he doesn't have the game, as we say. He isn't able to talk. You know, some guys, they're so slick, man, they can talk the ears off of a corn, you know. But really, when you talk about substance, is there substance there? They can talk a good thing, but can they show up with the proof of what is good?
Okay. All right, well, I understand that. I personally understand that. Okay. Well, of course, I'm not married either. I'm not. You know, I would like to be married, but it hasn't worked out that way. So that makes sense
well,
to me, too, not just to her.
Right. Where are you? I would say the first question you need to ask, where are you fishing? I personally recommend people to fish in good places, not necessarily popular places, but good places. If you are saved, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of his kingdom work, then to me it just makes sense that you would look for a person of that same caliber, with that same kind of interest. But if you are you're saved and you're saying, well, man, I'm following the Lord, well, then why would you go to let's say the bar or some place that is not necessarily honoring God as Lord and Savior? Why would you go there looking for the person who's going to complete your life? That's a bad river. That's not what you want. Now, am I throwing off all drunks and no? I mean, God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. We know that, but I don't know that would be a place that I would recommend for you to fish for a lifetime partner. Now, if you just want a man, you know, wears pants and you know, who grows facial hair or something like that and has a good gift of gab, if that's what you're looking for, I mean, there are plenty out there. But I don't recommend hooking up with him.
Okay. All right. I understand what you're saying. I understand that. But what if there may be something wrong with that woman? I mean, something that God hasn't healed her of.
That's true. Could be.
Maybe her location.
Yeah. Location could play a very big part of that. Maybe he doesn't live in your locale. Are you so? When I say you, I don't mean you personally, but is the woman so set that she's going to stay there for life? Or if the man is in Alaska and he falls in love with you, are you going to pick up and or be willing to pick up and go where he is?
Yeah, but I don't want a man that's abusive or cruel. I don't like cruel men. I don't like men or women that are cruel. Me personally, I don't like cruel people. And
right.
I particularly don't care for liars, which everybody lies at some point, but when, you know, you ask somebody if you love them, and at one time they say, well, I did or whatever, but, you know what I'm saying? But isn't that, you know, that's just even, you know, wrong to me. You know, people should be honest from the start. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. If he lies up front, what makes you think he's going to change somewhere downstream? A liar is a liar, unless the Lord is entering into that life, into that relationship, and he's tired of lying. But most liars are not tired of lying. They just want to find the perfect lie that they can say and get over, you know. you can't go out like that. If you're looking for a man of integrity, then you have to tighten it up and say, I won't accept anything less than a man of integrity. You know, he may say, baby, you know, you really look good, and I'm just, and you got pancake flour on your face or whatever, you know, and he just wants to look past that to whatever else his mind is on. That's not a person that's going to help you. That's not a person who's going to be a blessing to your life. That's a person who's going to tell you what he thinks you want to hear, and vice versa. We got women who do that, you see. So if your standard is, I want somebody who's going to tell the truth, then that's what you ought to stick with, a truth teller. Don't say, well, you know, he does prevaricate a little bit, you know. Not that bad. Well, if you were not looking for a liar in the first place, he's bad. Let's tell it like it is. He's not going to get better unless the Lord enters his life. And that's a whole nother story.
Okay. All right. Does it matter if they're a pastor or not?
Say it again?
Does it matter if they're a pastor or not?
You think all pastors are committed to telling the truth?
No, not particularly. No.
Yeah, I think his position, his title, you still have to look to his character. You know, you have men of the cloth, women of the cloth, who tell lies and who feel very good about the lies they tell. So that's not in the ultimate. The realm, that's not going to do you any good anyway. So I would look at the character of the person. You said you don't like abusive people. I think that that's a good point. I think we have to study the character of the individual. I always, in one of my books I wrote, I talked about where to date and the fact that when you go on these dates, don't just go for the romance of it. Go as a fact-finding mission. You should, I think I said, you should go on a nature walk, which has nothing to do with romance, and you shouldn't be having romance in your mind. You want to enjoy the date. So you go on a nature walk, and you're with somebody who wants to kill every bug in town. He's jumping the kill, you know, and so it doesn't matter whether it's a spider or an ant or a butterfly. He's just swatting everything. That's a person you might want to be a little cautious about because he's not respecting nature. Now, of course, if a bug lands on me, I'm gonna try to get it off of me, or I'm gonna try to kill it. You know, I am not friendly to mosquitoes. But I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm saying if a person goes after God's creation, and the creation is doing what it does, and the person says, let me kill it, there's a bug, let me go get, then I would be a little suspicious about that person's temperament. If he doesn't respect nature, the likelihood is he won't respect you either. So, in your dating, don't get so colorblind that you just, the love bug is biting you and you just falling head over heels in love. Use your eyes, use your ears, use your senses to observe the character of that person before you fall in love with. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It does. It does. It makes a whole lot of sense. All right. So, where can people go to join your group on Facebook, and where can they go to get private marriage and relationship counseling on the website? And if you have any contact information that you would like to give out, please share it now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the best way to get to me is through our church system. The email address is ccenter22g I'm sorry, COG dot Gmail. I think I put an extra dot. Let me do that again. CCenter22COG@gmail.com. That's the best way to write and get in touch with me. Telephone number is 215-548-7483. And you'll probably get in touch with my administrative assistant or secretary, and you give her the message, and she will make sure that I receive the message and get back in touch with you. Again,
okay.
That's 215-548-7483. Actually, that translates into Live Right, LIVRITE.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you've been married 53 years, which is not as uncommon as people might think in this day and age. We had talked about this last week about the divorce rate, and if you could briefly talk about that, I would appreciate it, because we don't have that long. It's only a 30-minute show. We have about 3 minutes. Divorce rate, why do you believe it's so high? If you could just give a quick summing up of that.
Okay, well, listen, I think that a lot of people don't do their homework before they get married, and so they try each other out and find out they don't really like each other. They don't prefer their existence together as married people, and so divorces now are so easy to obtain, and in a lot of states it's no fault. You don't even have to declare a reason for why. And so I would say those two reasons, that the exodus is easy and the entrance is a little too easy. People get married, well, I love his eyes, or I love her smile. Okay, those things are nice, but, I mean, come on. You're going to spend the rest of your life with somebody who you like their smile. It ought to be a little deeper than that. The substance ought to be a little more than just the surface scratch. That's why divorces, I think, are so prevalent. They're just easy to get. You don't have to give much explanation anymore. I don't like this person anymore. Okay, so, you know, sign here, pay the money, and get on with life. So it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Okay. I have a question. If a person has sex before they're married, do you believe that takes away from the marriage? And now, I know it's a sin. Fornication is a sin, but do you think that affects some marriages?
Sure. Yeah. If the Bible says don't do it, there must be some consequence attached to doing it. The Bible says that we are to refrain from sexual contact, sexual intercourse of any kind, until after we become officially Mr. and Mrs. whatever. If the Bible says that's the way we are to do it, isn't it reasonable that if we don't do it that way, that there are consequences to suffer? I believe, you know, God gives and he doesn't do it just to be because he can do it. There are reasons. There are things that need to be in order. And we are a generation of people who like to jump out of order and then want order to follow us. It does not make sense.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to say? Because you have no time left. Okay, thank you, Reverend Stephen, Dr. Stephen.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Bye.